kingly confidence, masculine mastery, fearless freedom. Welcome to the podcast that supports you to show up in the world as the unapologetic, unfuckwithable, free-loving king you were born to be. Join Masculine Mastery Coach Mark Usher on a journey to releasing conditioned stories of unnecessary stress, struggle, and shame, while unlocking unlimited levels of inner peace, power, and prosperity in every area of your life. Fearless freedom comes to you as you self-authorize your masterpiece life, knowing in your truth, you move with nothing to prove. You are enough. And now, Mark.
So what a beautiful topic that we've got to discuss today, guys. Embodying love in the face of your woman's shitstorm, your queen's shitstorm, and by extension into the beautiful expanding kings of freedom within the gay community. We're all part of the sacred masculine male community on the planet. You know, within that context, I invite you to just look at your partner and, you know, use this within the context for yourself when your partner drops into their feminine. So it's applicable within all relationships for men, whatever your relationship status, approach, sexual orientation is. My deepest passion here within this, and coming from a personal perspective, but within Kings of Freedom, you know, masculine mastery, embodying that and owning fearless freedom, is just to set the context for this podcast episode. It's learning to use intimate relationships as a path for masculine self-mastery and ultimate fearless freedom. This involves, for so many men, it did definitely for me, an total radical paradigm shift as to how I was personally approaching my intimate relationships. Just to drop in here from the start and just form that foundation of humility. Truth hurts, but the truth sets you free, as always. Just treading that into the culture here. You know, I just want to lead with what I'm going to talk about today. I'd bring in as much of a personal narrative from my own life's experience with my beautiful queen Matilde and the massive challenges I have faced as a man within that. And like, it's just really, to be radically honest, I didn't have it easy. I didn't make it easy. Wounded attracts wounded. So what I entered into when I entered into relationship with Matilde, beautiful relationship started, 13 years ago. Yeah, the perspectives were, we were bringing a lot of baggage, as pretty much every person brings in. You bring in your emotional baggage, your wounds. You bring in the love, you bring in the magnificence, but there's always going to be that shadow. The shadow and the baggage that we both brought in made for an, at times, explosive mix of when wounded met wounded. It's like, you know, when, what is it, hot air and cold air collides, the storm happens. When masculine and feminine collided from that wounded emotional closure perspective, it was bloody explosive at times. My wounds sort of really, as succinctly to describe them as possible, of course, you could talk for hours. I could talk for hours about detailing them. But my perspective coming into relationship, what I brought into Matilda was, I had this inherent, learned fear of feminine rejection. Where that was coming from, my dad, like many dads out there in the culture, and it's actually part of the challenge as men, but my dad was working away quite a bit as a police officer, a member of the guards in the Irish system. And I, sort of growing up, predominantly learned more about the feminine energy from my mother, of course. And as a result, I became really attuned to that energy. And not having the masculine presence like would have been there in days gone by, where, you know, as a young boy, you would have been out in the farm, you would have been down working with your dad, witnessing the masculine energy as he worked as a blacksmith, as a carpenter, you know, in the old traditional trades, where your father, the masculine sacred presence, would have been at home. So the boy, as a boy, you know, we would have had that opportunity to just submerge and learn energetically about the sacred masculine from our father. Modern life, and it's modern life going back pretty much more than a century at this point, you know, predominantly our fathers have been away, so we've learned so much about the energetics, the masculine feminine energetics, in an imbalanced way. So we'll talk about that in another episode. But what this sort of brought up from myself, and touch base, maybe you can relate, is I ended up learning a lot about masculine feminine, but predominantly by relating to the feminine. Through many other different sort of ways and witnessing and interpreting, and indeed misinterpreting, it's like as a young boy, it's the inner child. You know, I can look back and make sense of it, and you can look back and make sense, rationalize as a man, you know, in your 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever. And we can rationalize looking back, but there's always this sacred context of we formed our inbuilt beliefs, our paradigms, our ways of looking at relationships from those formative years. So we turn up into relationships, and this is just to bring a sense of universality, a sense of allowance, a sense of actually being easy on ourselves, being kind to ourselves. And when I say easy and kind, I'm not saying give your, like, take the heat from under your ass. It's Kings of Freedom. Like, part of it is like put the heat under our ass. But it's really important to love ourselves and accept ourselves for the journey that we've had. You know, we weren't given the training how to show up into intimate relationships. I don't know about you, but 0% of my schooling, 0% of my religious experience, 0% of sort of parenting that I experienced growing up took me to the side and said, X, Y, and Z, this is how you do it. So a lot of it was, we were just figuring out as we went along the way. You know, the universal nature is, and as you tap into this yourself and you tap into your own life, if you're having a struggle with the challenges of showing up in the face of your woman's shitstorm, I mean, you're not alone. This is not a sign that, you know, this is just an individual struggle for you. This is just one more thing that you're struggling with behind the scenes. Here's the thing, and it's to remind ourselves of this always. There's the social media version of reality. How many times do you see a mate shows up and goes, man, I had a shitstorm row with my beloved last night. Like, she was threatening to leave me, or I felt like taking the keys and just fucking running from it, and it was horrific, or we haven't been talking to each other in the last 2 weeks, or, you know, we're sleeping in different bedrooms. It's just, it's hell at home. We don't hear this. You know, this is a suffering in silence. As men, we don't really often talk about this. So as a result of not talking about it, and because of the cultural shaming of being emotional and being vulnerable, because we put this facade out of we've got our shit sorted, very rarely do we hear about the suffering of another man, the experience of other men. And I can tell you from behind the scenes, you know, just coaching men around the world in deep conversation with men of all socioeconomic backgrounds, of all cultural backgrounds, it doesn't matter. So many men, the vast majority, find this deeply challenging to deal with the feminine emotional storm. So I speak to your sense of self as a man, that self-esteem, that you're not failing in this. This is actually a really difficult thing to do when you've had no education, you haven't grown up in a culture like pretty much all of us men that supports you in your emotional capacity to tune in, tap in, turn on to the feminine energy in front of you. So, you know, just a bit of context there to be easy on yourself. And yet at the same time, I'm going to sort of put it up to you in a challenging, challenges the core of conscious masculinity, to challenge you to ferociously self-love and accept where you're at. You know, you're going at 10 out of 10 with the tools, with the experiences, with what life has made available to you and your nervous system to this point. And I honor that, I always will. Yet, I do challenge you to sort of approach this conversation in an open way, as an open mind, and be hungry to find what might be a new bit of information that can light up the path for you. Tapping into, you know, the feminine shitstorm, what I'm actually talking about here, to get a bit more specific, and this will actually help you, you know, distinguish when this information that I'm giving you, that I'm providing, giving with an open hand, when it's of greatest use or not. It's to form the distinction of whether your woman is in her masculine or her feminine. Remember, it's not male or female, it's masculine or feminine. When a conversation is happening in a sort of a more masculine perspective, you know, there will be times you'll probably testify that your partner, your queen, is happy enough to go from A to B. A is the current situation. Kid going off to college. B is the outcome. You're having a discussion about your kid is now at point A, and we just need to discuss this future goal, this destination point B, and let's just work out the practicalities, what options are available. And it's a masculine, directional, linear, rational, makes sense conversation. And you can be at home with that. And she is very receiving to your directionality, to your input, etc., etc. That's a more masculine-based conversation. So this podcast episode, it's not relating to that. And there can be many of those conversations for sort of the practical, everyday things that go on in the family. They're sacred conversations. This is more when your queen is in her feminine. Now, the feminine is unpredictability. The feminine, it's not an A to B. It's in one point. It's almost like infinite. You know, the infinite, I think, is the symbol for infinite. It's like a never-ending loop, hence infinity, like a number 8, where you just see it's like it just goes round and round and round. It's on one point. That's the feminine. And because it doesn't form this, okay, A, situation A, where we're at now. Situation B, that's where we want to get to from A. This is masculinity. And like, just, I wonder, are you nodding your head? It's like, yeah, that's where we work best. Define the situation, where we're at. Problem solve, solution find. How do I get to situation B? That brings out the best of our core masculine essence. And I celebrate that in you. I acknowledge that in you. I love that in you. That's a part of your magnificence. It's a part of my magnificence. Yet, ha-ho, slowing down to speed up here. Have you found that there's times when you try to implement that directionality when your feminine goddess queen is in the shitstorm of unpredictable, irrational thoughts coming from left, right, left field, right field, behind you? There's emotions, the changes from loving connection to rage, to confusion, to frustration, to sadness, to grief, to tears, to laughter. It's fucking crazy in that chaos. Have you found that your desire to just logically, rationally describe, well, yeah, but hold on, we're in situation A, and here, look, I know you're saying that, but, you know, if you just did this, and you start getting into fixing the situation, you want to fix her situation, you want to fix her perspective, and it can come from a heart of love. You know, as men, we don't like seeing our women, we don't like seeing people suffer. So we sort of try to tidy the situation up. But the more you try and fix the situation, the more resistance you get. The more resistance you get, the more intensely you want to fix the situation. Does that situation ring home to you? I just want to touch base with you. Because if it doesn't, well, shit me, you're like one in a million of a guy. And I'm happy for you. But I know, talking with lots of guys, so many guys can resonate with this. It's like, oh my God, she just goes off in this tangent, and like, it doesn't seem to be any golden thread between any of it. And it's like, she just wants to stay stuck in the situation, and she brings up the past, and it's just like this chaos, and I just want to get clarity. She doesn't want clarity, and it's just this bang. We're just banging off each other. So part of this conversation is really to bring some clarity. And it's like, at times it can feel like you're up shit creek without a paddle. Do you get that? Like, you're trying to implement masculinity, rationality, and all those juicy, beautiful things that work for you in your work, when you organize the things in your locality, in your club, when you set about a project or writing a book, or you're like organizing the camping trip, etc., etc. You know, all that masculinity, it's like, you love it, it's heavenly. But it just, at times, in the face of the feminine shitstorm, you're up shit creek without a paddle. So the essence here, I really want to gift you some bit of a paddle. And some of what I'll be saying might seem quite triggering, because it'll trigger parts of like inadequacy, or where you feel, well, Jesus, that's not available to me, or maybe I'm not a deeply emotional guy. And if you get this feeling of, well, I'm just not like that, you know, I'm just not that type of guy, I honor that part in you. And I understand, for so long, I'm putting up my hand here as I speak, you know, for so long I just thought I wasn't good at emotions. I really thought I tried every single thing to help Matilda be happy, but it's like I was coming up short in so many ways. You know, I honor that perspective, but I just invite you to gently just open up that there could be a possibility beyond that. And just remain open that some seeds will be planted today, some reminders of, you know, that part of your system that is actually just finely tuned, is inherently designed for emotional connection. Remember, the only reason why you, myself, or any other man out there struggle to connect emotionally is because it has actually been conditioned out of us. You had that there. Here's the thing, guys. The lover archetype is the connection archetype, is the emotional, energetic part of our psyche, our emotional, our nervous system, that can tap into and empathize and attune with the energy and the emotion of people around us and our own emotions. We have that in bucket loads. We had nothing but that for the 8-9 months when we were in our mother's womb. That's our entire understanding was the lover archetype, was that energetic emotional connection. You've got that in your system. Unless you didn't commit to the world, didn't go through your mother's womb, you have that. It's there. It's just a reconnecting, a remembering, a reinvigorating of that already set in the system, natural capacity that you have. If it seems like it's long forgotten, I'm holding my hand up again. I've been going through this intense journey to remember that. So there again, the universal nature of it. Getting into this, you know, talking a little bit about my own story, the baggage coming in, like I mentioned, my own baggage coming in, went on a sacred tangent, but coming back, like Matilda's, what I was meeting with Matilda's wounds, it was really intense. Matilda had experienced effectively her parents split when she was one. She didn't get to know what it was to have the masculine in at home. There was a lot of trauma for her within that. Within her extended family, you know, effectively, like, separation, divorce, cheating was almost like the accepted norm. It's almost like very few people in our family knows what it is to have that long, loving connection. And in our family, relative to when she was growing up, what she was witnessing and taking on emotionally by osmosis. And she ended up experiencing sexual abuse for several years when she was a little bit older, I think between 10 and 12. So let's just say that her subconscious mind was very triggered by the presence of masculinity. There was a lot of wounds there. And, you know, wounded meets wounded. We met perfectly there. I give in that sort of a perspective as well, just to remind us, sort of, there's been intense conflicting moments in our relationship. So I've been sort of up against a massive hurricane of it. What I'm, all of the stuff and the perspectives I'm giving here, it's not coming from a theoretical. It's not like, oh, well, I did this course and I read like lots of books, guys, and I've just like systematically got this rational step-by-step process for you that I've just come from a fucking book. No. This comes from the battlegrounds of 12 years of predominantly doing it fucking arse ways in so many senses, in my ignorance, not knowing, and then slowly but surely just sort of rectifying it, working with it and figuring out. And I don't mean arse ways for 12 years, there's lots of learning, but it's just been the speeding up of that learning in recent years. What I found for like 11, 12 years, predominantly, like, I found myself in this position that when I got triggered, Matilda would get triggered, we're in that situation, rational meets irrational, masculine meets the feminine, we get grounded. Within myself, I started blaming. I like, the finger would be out. I'd be trying to get to a resolution, but it's like, when I'd be met with that irrational stance by my queen, it's like, definitely within my sort of try be patient, try hold ground, try to make a logical approach. But the more resistance I'd get, it'd be like, I'd start to blaming. And it could be within my head. I had this nice guy sort of persona, I'd keep it within my head. But on the inside, I was like, Jesus, you just can't get this point. Like, why the fuck? Like, it's like, I'm just explaining. You're talking about this problem. You're on this roundabout. You're 24/7 talking about the problem. But like, I'm in my second, third, fourth, seventh way of trying to explain the exact one solution, and you're just not listening. So there was a blaming element in me, and what I know now is like, I was causing like an emotional, physical, energetic shutdown. And even if I wasn't speaking the words, and touch base with yourself, is, can you relate with this, that sometimes maybe you're not blaming on the outside, but your thoughts on the inside are actually of a blaming nature. It's a pointing the finger. You're frustrated on the inside. And as men, as a man myself, I sort of thought, you know, she's only hearing what I'm saying on the outside. On the outside, I'm being reasonable. But, you know, the feminine, and we pick up, our feminine picks up on stuff. You'll know within a nanosecond from the tone of voice of your beloved by, you know, just the energy coming from her, where she's at. So it's not like this isn't just a female exclusive phenomenon. But like, your words might be tidy, your words mightn't be insulting, your words might be rational, your words might be tidy and sort of relatively clean, but if your energy in behind is sort of blaming, if the thoughts in your head are blaming, she's picking up on that. So I'm, the nice guy persona of me found for years is like, yeah, but I'm, you know, I've just been sort of nice in what I've been saying. I've been sort of just logically putting this out. My energy and my thoughts on the inside that Matilda was picking up on, you know, it was blaming. It held quite sort of an offensive, attacking energy. Might be a little bit on some conversations to maybe sort of a really intense, heavy, murky blaming energy in other times. The other flip side of the coin was when there's a blaming happening, I also found that for so long there was an inner shaming. You know, I desire to be a good man. I desire to do things better than what I perceive my dad was doing, what my granddads, what other men out there. You know, as men, at our core, we want to do better. We want to be good men. I really wanted to be, you know, the husband, the soulmate, the partner that was worthy of Matilda, the mother of my kids. You know, I wanted to be able to help her to be happy. I wanted to be able to communicate. I didn't want to be struggling in the face of, you know, these repeated needs that it seemed like I felt like I wasn't adequate or able or emotionally grounded enough to be able to provide these needs that she was looking for. And there was a shame there. I can look back now. I mightn't have been fully aware of it at the time. It definitely can look back with clarity. And just touching base with you, does this stir anything within you that at those times, you know, there can be the blaming, but the blaming can be a protective mechanism of make the other person wrong so I feel right. But actually, that's just hiding deeper inside a part of you that just is feeling inadequate. It's just feeling just, there's something about me. I just can't do this. I'd love to. I love this woman. I love this partner. I love them so much, but it's just so frustrating that, you know, I repeatedly seem to come up short and be able to get through to them, be able to connect with them, be able to be the man that they can look at and go, well, I trust you with what you're saying. Boom, done. We're going to be, you know, like to be able to emotionally be supportive and grounded enough to have the feminine drop in with us. So an inadequacy can come up a lot of the times, but that, excuse me, that inadequacy and that feel the fog of shame that comes up, and it's there in every man, by the way. This is universal. Maybe you can't relate to it directly, but just to open the doors and invite you through that it's okay. Every man has this. There again, it's not something inherently wrong with you. That's the thing with shame. Shame in the mind of the of men within modern culture is like, oh, I'm failing. It's not failure. You know, it's part of the conditioning. There's nothing inherently wrong with you. You're wonderful. You're magnificent. Just building that ferocious self-love and acceptance ground, which is at the core of Kings of Freedom. You're doing fucking brilliant. You're doing amazingly. It's just maybe the tools you haven't got the tools yet. You haven't just really reconnected with that lover archetype just yet. But just remain open in this conversation. It's a challenging topic. So when this shaming and blaming was going on within myself, I now can look back and with greater awareness go, yeah, when I was shaming myself subconsciously, maybe at times outwardly and blaming Matilda, in that dynamic, I was physically closing, energetically closing. My inner child was sort of crawled up in a ball. My rejection had been triggered, my rejection from the feminine and the fear that I was going to be upset, the fear that the feminine wouldn't love me, the fear that I wasn't adequate, I wasn't deserving of that love. And, you know, just touch base within yourself. You know, what are those deepest fears that you have in those moments when the deeper into that feminine shitstorm you go, it can seem sometimes that the further away your woman, that connection goes. It's like the more you lean in, the more you try to fix it, the more that distance comes. And what comes up for you? You know, what feelings? There can be feelings of anger, rage can come up. There can be feelings of frustration, that feelings of grief and sadness because you just want that connection. And just, I invite you to look and honor those feelings that may be there. Maybe you don't acknowledge them in the moment of that conflict that you're trying to resolve, but there are deep emotions there. There are. That's why it feels so charged. If there wasn't an emotional charge for you in that, if there wasn't a deep desire to experience loving connection with your queen, these moments wouldn't be so intense. Here's the thing. It's like there are suppressed emotions being triggered. That's why you feel it really, really intense. And it's because you love her and you love yourself and you desire to be able to be more effective in that. So in the metaphor for the masculine approaching the feminine is like, you know, the masculine is the stillness, is the seat of consciousness. Just tapping into that self-mastery. And the seat of consciousness is the witnessing awareness, the king archetype. The king archetype is the part within us that can look on at the storm. Just say, imagine in your head, it's on a podcast, I can't give the visual, I'm doing it with my hands. I'm laughing at myself. I'm doing it with my hands because I'm used to Zoom calls. I sort of do a little whirly thing with my hand. You're not fucking seeing that. Imagine, guys, in your head, the whirling, you know, typhoon, tornado style image. The center, the calm, the calm of the storm, that's the masculine, and the mad, destructive movement, unpredictable thoughts and emotions, that's the feminine. In approaching the feminine shitstorm, you've got to tap into the king archetype, and it's within you. It's that inner stillness. It's the part that goes beyond the magician, the rational mind, and the risk management part of the rational mind that formed all of these strategies to protect you. It's the blaming strategies, it's the shaming strategies. It's the looking on, and like, if you can feel right, if you can make her wrong and make you feel right, that's one of the most dominant strategies of the ego. It can give a sedating effect. Well, at least I'm right. The conflict might be, like, you might be going thicker and thicker and more closer. Sometimes I was going close to, like, my marriage breaking apart. But it was, like, this seductive, intoxicating feeling, I remember, like, at times where if I felt right, it's almost like I could go out that goddamn door, take the keys of the car, and I'm gone. If I just felt right. And it's, like, it seems crazy now, but, like, it's, this is, we've... The magician rational part of the mind forms these protective strategies. Insanity can happen, and in lots of times these moments, the most destructive arguments, just touch base with yourself. Have you been in these moments? Do you experience this with the feminine, where at times where just, you know, there's a self-destructive thing, the whole situation is losing all control, but your only point of control is that you feel right. You know? You're already making a story that you're right enough that you can take the consequences of anything, that if this whole thing falls apart and the ship goes down, you can actually build a story where, you know, you can hold face because you were right. One big question I had to answer to bring me to a basic humility was, Mark, you might feel right, but how's that working out for you? I remember somebody posing that to me, and I was like, whoa, sucker punch in the stomach. It's like, how's that working out for me? It's just, it wasn't. So a part of it is learning to embrace. But as men, you know, we don't, I speak for myself. I've never really, I've really struggled. I can do a bit better now, but I remember when I had that shame and inadequacy, it's like I could never really hold my hand up to admit that, shit, I've actually got a problem here. I've got some puzzle in front of me that I just don't know how to deal with until I had the roadmap in my hand. So it's very hard. It's okay to say, oh, but shaming and blaming, and, you know, logically you can get that. Well, shaming and blaming, yeah, okay, how's that working out? It's not. But then it's like the question is, there's this void to fill in. Well, what's the options ahead of me? And that lames. Shaming, blaming doesn't work, then you claim. You can shame, blame, but move to claiming it. They're not my words, but I really like them. Claiming, you know, the shaming and the blaming, just looking at the metaphor of the storm, you know, there's two ways to get yourself safe in the storm. One is to walk progressively to the outskirts of the storm and walk away to the point at which you're outside of the storm so far that the winds aren't hitting you at all, okay? That's the shaming and blaming way. That's the close down. That's hide and protect the inner child at all costs, but you're not connecting with the feminine. You're not connecting with the goddess. So that's walking away from the storm to the point at which you might even get the keys of the car and just feck off. You might just shut down, go stonewall the feminine in front of you. I've done this. I've done this so many times. But that's moving away from the storm. It's damage limitation, but just getting away. Or, you know, put up, shut up, minimize and normalize. Tell her whatever is necessary to just sort of effectively shut her up. And I don't mean that like denigrating or being negative against a woman, but it's like you just get so overwhelmed. It's like, just, okay, she just wants me to say this. And you just say it, or, you know, whatever it is. You get out of the storm of the moment by whatever means possible. That's moving away from the storm. That's a damage limitation protective strategy. I honor if you can relate with it. I honor you. I know that, you know, if there's an overwhelm, you might not have the tools available. But it guarantees that the same shitstorm is going to hit you again, and it's going to hit you harder. This is just like when there's a pattern, and a pattern is, it happens two or more times. Can you see a pattern of these type of conflicts happening again and again? Have you ever found that you're on the same It's like a same shit, different day, sort of like it's the same argument. I know my hand up is up there again so many times where, man, it's like we're arguing about the same thing. It's a month later, it's 2 months later, it's two fucking days later. It's the same argument. Mm! And the frustration that went with that. So until you claim it, until you face into the storm, stop going to the outskirts of the storm and you just ground down and go, okay, I'm not going with the risk management part. I'm not protecting the inner child from like those protective strategies of shaming and blaming. I'm going to claim this. Now you're shifting from rational mind into your king. And this is kings of freedom. This is this part of you, this badass, wild man, willing to take 100% responsibility for creating your reality. That's the king in you. It's this part that is independent. It's looking on. There's this craziness going on, this chaos within yourself. Remember, there's masculine and feminine happening within yourself, but it's the king archetype that can tap into the inner child. It's that emotion rising in you. It's like the inner child is almost, imagine that your king has your inner child on the shoulders, or like it's just supporting behind the back, and the inner child is like, I'm scared. The inner child is like, I'm feeling rejection. The inner child can be communicating, going, I'm just so deeply frustrated. Or I'm feeling so inadequate here. Or I'm in an absolute rage. I don't want this to go on. I'm so pissed off with her. Whatever it is that the inner child, your emotional, that emotional part of you that has these old wounds being triggered by your feminine in the moment, imagine that there's a king there behind at the shoulders. The king is the part of you that goes, I know, but proceed. We've got this. And as you do this, you shift into taking 100% responsibility. And actually, this is the deepest desire of the feminine, is that you assume 100% responsibility for you, for your thoughts, your thinking, talking, and taking action, your creative tools. There's a thing that I say I came up in my learning within relationship, and it's like, you've got to do the work to perceive the goddess, to earn the right to receive the goddess. And sometimes guys really find this sort of almost inflammatory in nature. It's like, it's really deeply provocative. It's like, hold on, to earn the right to receive the goddess? She's got to earn the right to receive my godliness. Like, I mean, it's horror work. And like, she fucking has wounds and she needs to upgrade and, you know, improve horror way she comes into relationship. I say, yeah, she does. Undoubtedly. Has she got her 100%? Has she got her wounds? Has she got a possible need to, you know, take a deep look inside herself and how she's showing up? Could she learn strategies and ways to, you know, tap into your masculine power and appreciate the masculine a bit more? Has she got her possible wounds with her father, stepfather, with the masculine in her life growing up? Yeah. Fuck yeah. Probably like 100% of the time. Yes. But this is Kings of Freedom. I'm talking with you. I'm sort of taking this approach like it's like this is like a coaching conversation with you. The heat is under your ass because why? It's only when you take 100% responsibility for your reality do you take 100% control that's available to you in your reality. You know, this is why it's 100%. The king, the crown, the energetic crown, the symbol of the logo of Kings of Freedom, that's a big energetic thing to take on. When you put the crown in your head, you're taking 100% responsibility for your kingdom creation, aka your reality, your life experience. And when you do that, you go from the inner child, I'm a little puppy dog, and it's the puppy dog sort of persona that irritates, infuriates, is putrid, is like just, it's just so horrible to the feminine. When we do this puppy dog, we go into this rejected thing. Because the puppy dog might have been appropriate when you related, and we learned how to relate with our mother from the puppy dog. Because our mother had us like when we were babies. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Even when we go beyond the nest and there's not a lot of initiation that happens in modern culture, the mother can sort of still be there. Oh, my little boy, you know, it's like, it never really stops mothering. And we learn to be the puppy dog. But like, that's not appropriate. Might have been cute in the early days with your beloved, but then you get married, then you have kids, then there's a lot more that she needs from you. She wants you to be an alpha wolf. And being an alpha wolf, guys, taking 100% responsibility doesn't mean being infallible, doesn't mean being unstoppable, doesn't mean being having your shit sorted 24/7. It just means taking 100% responsibility for what's actually happening in you. part of that, and just 100%, 100%, here's the thing I want you to, I invite you to take a look at, is so many of the issues that you'll find in relating with the feminine, or with any situation in life that you find really irritating and challenging, and it's just that really tests your capacity as a man to empower yourself, to have like a really grounded perspective and knowing how to move forward on. All of those issues and conflicts within ourselves happen when we're coming from a 50-50 paradigm. It's a nightmare. If you go into any conflict, any situation with your beloved, and you're coming from there's a 50-50 here, and it's like, you have your 50%. I know how I have my 50%, but you've got your 50%. You're going to find that probably 100% of the time, the dominant part of you, subconscious part of you, is going to be trying to get, well, I know I have my bit, but you've got your bit, and it's going to be like, you've got your 51% and 49%, and we never go with 51% and 49%. We, if we're really honest, we probably tap more into, the more intense the conversation goes, the more, yeah, well, I know you might be making some valid points. We might grudgingly within our heads sort of admit, well, like, there's a bit of a 10%, you know, validity in what she's saying, but goddamn, it's like, she has 90% of responsibility in this. There again, it's the right wrong comes in. I'm more right than you. That's the 50-50. When it's 100%, 100%, and this is just the ground, this is foundational, the greatest shifts will happen when it's 100%, 100%, and the king in you just assumes ownership for your 100%. Just slowing down with this. This is one of the biggest game-changing things I brought into my life. One of the most challenging to actually implement, but it's game-changing. Because when you, and I'll go into the specifics of what it actually means on a practical level to assume 100% responsibility for what you're bringing to the situation. When you do that, the 100% of your woman, of your goddess, of your queen, of your partner, that's their shit to sort. You're not focusing on fixing that. You're not trying to alleviate and sedate your pain and your triggering and your emerging awareness of these wounds that are being triggered in you. You're not trying to put the blame on whore. You're not trying to fix whore so you will stop feeling pain. You're like, hey, that's your 100%. My business is dealing with my 100%. My emerging thoughts, my emerging emotions, my ways I'm speaking, the ways I'm acting. So that's the context. In learning to move, and how do you face the storm? So you have your beloved in front of you, your queen is there, she's, you know, this isn't a masculine conversation going from A to B, it's just this shit storm, it's this infinite symbol looping back on itself, it's like she just doesn't want any solution, it's just all emotional. Well, here's the thing, it's like, when it's that type, when you know and you've answered, it's like, this is a feminine shitstorm. This is the feminine. It's not wanting to go to B. Stop trying to move and transform the situation by moving her mind, by trying to change her mind. What you're trying to do now is move emotion, energy of motion. Feminine is predominantly that emotion. Just know that. Trying to change her mind, it's not going to work in this. It will in a masculine perspective, in a masculine conversation, trying to get from A to B, it will not work within this, when she's deeply in the feminine. And you do that by taking 100% responsibility. First thing to become aware of is your posture. You know, this is getting into a bit more of the practical side of it. Might seem a bit abstract, but I'm just giving you the most global perspective on this. Become aware of your posture. You know, you're in the shitstorm. Your posture, if you tap in at some points, your posture can be sort of going out the door. It's like you're irritated. You might have your arms folded. It's like it's a protective shutdown. You might have a tense look in your face. You might be, there's multiple different ways. You know the specific ways. Become aware of your posture. And I know it can be hard and really challenging. But this is about you stepping into your king and, you know, showing up as the alpha wolf, that your wife is really wanting, your partner is really wanting to you to step up with. She's going to find this really scintillating when you learn and you start setting, practicing this way. Once you become aware of your posture, you're like, oh, you know, I'm a bit shut down. Soften it. Strong spine. It's not that you soften in a weak sense. You soften your front. Open posture. If you're standing, or, you know, you can sitting, whatever it is, sitting upright, shoulders back, facing her, soft face. You know, if there's tension, touch base with your jaws, with your eyebrows, or you're scrunched up in the face, and soften it. Unfold the arms and just put the hands down on your laps. Keep it an open front and you're facing her. And you start communicating, I'm here. I'm actually here. I'm not running. I'm facing the storm. You're worthy and I want to face this. I'm wanting to claim this. You start building trust with this. You know, if there's a tension there, this actually, when you start to become aware of that posture, there can be a tension there. And this can be really vulnerable, but part of taking ownership of that 100%, I invite you guys to, instead of the blaming of yourself, you know, claiming what's going on for you. Not pointing the finger what she's not doing, not pointing the finger and blame of what you're not able to do, but just claiming that and speak it into the space. It's like, hey, honey, it's like, I'm just feeling there's a lot of rejection here that's live for me. I'm feeling a lot of rejection, you know, when you're saying this, not putting it on you, it's just, I'm feeling a lot of rejection here. It's actually quite vulnerable now. Even when I say that, I just automatically put my hand on my heart, you know, my hand on my heart, I'm touching base, hand on my tummy. If this feels right for you, hand in your heart, hand in your tummy, sort of communicating to your nervous system, you know, you're minding yourself, you're protecting yourself, but protecting it in an open-hearted way. Let her into your kingdom. Let her know that this is challenging. I invite you, like, to start using your words to let her know what's going on for you. Sort of words that come up for me is like, hey, Amore, you know, I'm feeling this really challenging at the moment. I can feel myself actually wanting to shut down. This emotion, this is really challenging for me to be present in my own body. You know, I can feel there's anger there. But underneath the anger, it's like there's sort of like a sadness that, you know, I feel unable at this moment. There's a shame there. These might be high-loaded, you know, emotions for you to express or even to tap in, but I'm just, the invitation is there. You know, this is what, in doing this, in owning my emotions, Matilda can feel safe. I'm not pointing the finger at her. I'm not blaming her. I'm not shaming myself, but I'm just sitting in. That's what's really active for me. Sometimes, you know, with Matilda, one of the most effective things I've learned to do, and not as a strategy in a sense of, you know, just rational mind, in a wholehearted way. One recent really intense conversation we had a couple of weeks back, really, really intense. I was really triggered. So emotionally reactive at the beginning of it, the first 5 minutes, oh my God, it hadn't happened to me so intensely in a long while. But I said, hey, let's just get outside. The conversation sparked off at the kitchen table. I was like, let's just go outside. It was raining, but it was like, it doesn't matter. Let's just get out. Let's shake up the energy. There again, I was at the kitchen table. I was trying to move her mind. I was trying to like give her like a rational perspective. But just moving the emotion, moving the scene of where the conversation has sparked off, where that first sort of, you know, right and wrong perspective, where there's closure happening, just, that can be an idea. Move the emotion by moving the space. Let's just go outside for a bit. When I was going outside, I just tapped in. I was like, whoa, you know, my mental activity was, I was really, my mind was like almost obsessively making her wrong in that moment. And it was like a revelation, because I just said to her, it's like, hey, I can feel that there's so much of my mind wanting to make you wrong now. But this doesn't work. I know it doesn't work. And I know that you're not safe. If my mind is making you wrong and I'm blaming you, and underneath there's a shame of that within myself, this, it's not going to be safe for you, and this is not going to work. I already know from the past, when I make you wrong, to protect me feel right. It's not safe and it's not conducive to harmony. It's like, but that's just live at the moment and it feels really energized. So to move beyond that, Amore, I'm curious as to what you have yet to communicate or what I have yet to not hear, where I have not understood you enough. I'm just curious to know more about your perspective, to just help me drop in, to help me connect with you. You know, I want to know your perspective beyond this sort of making you wrong perspective. I want to drop in and connect with you. Can you help me out with that? What have you not told me, or what have I not heard? What have I not, what do you not feel understood on yet? Help me drop in here. And you know, she actually told me after, we did like sort of like a conversation debrief beyond where we reflected on it. She said at that moment, she's like, Mark, at that moment, I had you totally wrong. It's like I was so angry at you. But it's like when you actually open up and you told me about you were making me wrong and you got curious. She says like, it's almost like I hated you. She was laughing. She's like, I was hating you because I just wanted to unleash how you were wrong. But that just built a connection. It's like you put down a bridge to connect with you. And it was a very genuine thing. It just dropped me in. I still was very, very resistant. She was like, she still felt very resistant, but it opened the connection and it connected in. And she actually, she ended up, I remember well, like she ended up helping me understand. I got curious and it brought me to an understanding. It's like, oh, wow. You know, it was a perspective. I hadn't realized what emotions were coming up for her. And it just opened up the conversation again. So there's a couple of things going on there, guys. Just thinking, you know, all the time, just bring this back to situations you have experienced in where, you know, maybe the feminine shitstorm, it just hasn't been working for you and there's a lot of disharmony and conflict there. You know, just think of, we'll create a shift of space. And sometimes the shift of space, actually to speak this into the space with you as well, the changing the space can actually involve you just owning your needs, speak it safely into the space, own emotion, your emotions that are coming up and the thoughts that are coming up. You also have an option to express to your woman in the moment, hey, I really feel I'm supercharged at this moment. I'm really struggling to drop into my body. I really have it. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of frustration here. I just need a bit of space for a moment. I'm just going to go for a 5-minute walk. Guys, it could be a 20-minute walk. I just want a bit of time, go to my space. I want to drop in because, and just communicate directly. I want to make this a safe experience for both of us. You know, I want to be able to show up in a way that is as dropped in so we can just connect. But I just don't feel I'm in a space to connect with you, to be in that present capacity to tune in and to be emotionally present and digest what you're wanting to communicate to me that I clearly haven't understood yet. I just want a little bit of a time out for a moment. That's another option, guys. You know, as you're getting up to speed, and this is a practice, and this is like we're not talking about the easy conversations here. I'm acutely aware of this context. This is for those moments when you're at your limit. Your woman's at your limit, but for you to take 100% responsibility, it's another thing that's available. A lot of guys don't even think that that's an option. It's a storming off option, a shutdown option, a roll over and just go to sleep option. It's a running away from the storm. This is facing the storm, but it's saying, hey, it's owning, you know, your emotional system might feel a little bit of overwhelm in that moment to be conscious, but it's facing the storm. You just take a momentary time out to come back. You're always energetically facing the storm. This is the kingly moment, okay? It's not a retreat that I'm talking about. It's you taking stock, grounding yourself, bit of deep breath, coming back in. If you use that option, guys, and I know myself, I used that strategy before, but to be honest, I went away for 5 minutes and all my mind was obsessed on, and this was not masculine mastery, of course, was she's fucking wrong. She's wrong. I went away. I took the time out. But like, I just didn't drop in. I didn't use that time to build an intention to come back and connect and actually make it safe. I'd just take the time and I'd be thinking of the 4 million different things that she was doing wrong. That's not the purpose of it. And that's obviously not taking your 100% responsibility. So, you know, you can implement these as ideas. But don't come back sort of going, well, that dude, Mark of Kings of Freedom, that shit didn't work. I guarantee you, if the 5 minute, 2 minute, 10 minute timeout doesn't work to help you just emotionally come back a little bit into your king, a little bit into your body, a little bit more receptive and emotionally ready to attune, 99.99% of the time, you've unwittingly just been focusing on where she's wrong in that timeout. And just like, this is, there's no right or wrong, but this is just how it works. So there again, it's that humility needed. It's to own up to where you can show up more powerfully. So there's the posture. There's speaking out and taking ownership of your emotions. There's an awareness of energy. Because there again, it's just the energy and the emotion is sort of simultaneous. It's just like you can cross-reference, it's almost like the exact same word. But it's like your energy. Where's your energy at? You know, are you shut down? That will be communicating. That will be muddying the air. So become aware of your energy, drop in and speak that out. But it's only your energy that you're claiming. It's always referring to your 100%. In referring to feelings, this is one thing that comes up for me now as well. You know, some guys will go, well, I told her what I'm, Mark, I've been telling her what I'm feeling. You know, but it's just not working. So like that's just not working for me. And then like I just slow down with like coaching clients, be like, okay, well, tell me like how have you been expressing your feelings? Oh, well, I told her like, you know, I feel you're rejecting me. I feel you're criticizing me too much. I told her what I was feeling. And it's like I did that for so many years unwittingly as I was trying to show up more consciously and express my feelings. But just slowing down with that, guys, if you can, you know, resonate with that sort of an expression. If you express, for example, that like, I feel like you're rejecting me, I feel like you're criticizing me, that's not an expression of a feeling. That's an expression of an opinion that you have about her behavior. And more than likely, when you express like that, you're expressing that she's wrong, that she should change her behavior. It's not an expression of feeling. It's not owning your feelings. And expressing an expression of owning your feelings is, I'm feeling a charge of rejection here at the moment. That's it. And it's not, I'm feeling a charge of rejection because you're criticizing me and I feel, no, just, I am feeling a charge of rejection. I am feeling hurt. You know, in men's work, the drop in is like when you drop in and you express what's going on in your body, there can be a physical sensation followed by an emotion that's linked with it. And the part of it that's important, and this is sort of black belt style, but it's Kings of Freedom. I'm upping the challenge to you and opening you up to the realm of possibility of like it's almost an infinite depth of where you can go with this. You don't qualify or quantify the emotion. This is getting really precise. It's really giving you a toolbox that's in-depth here. Always with the context, guys. Okay, there's a lot of stuff here on the table for you. This is a practice. This episode is not pretending that, oh, you just listened to this episode and you've got the toolbox to nail this and you're never going to have disharmony ever again. No, this is a practice. This is an art. The art of deep, intimate connection, masculine, core with the feminine shitstorm, and not just a shitstorm, but bringing that back, that connection, that heart connection, masculine mastery of standing up, in your king as you dynamically navigate the storm to the point at which, you know, you don't, there's a damage limitation, you don't fling any hurt from a rejected inner child, you know, you navigate it, you learn to master it in a way that you're moving the emotion, you're not trying to convince her or fix her, to the point at which the feminine drops in because she's now trusting you. Her wounds with the masculine are sort of sedated, the shit that you're not responsible for, but you didn't cause it, you know, in her childhood, but you are the masculine represented in her life. And this is about masculine mastery and ultimate freedom. So, you know, there again, I for many years thought, yeah, but I'm not responsible for that. It's not my fault. I didn't cheat. I didn't do all of these things. I didn't abuse you. I didn't, you know, I wasn't your dad that sort of put work as a number one priority ahead of you. All of these things. But that was a victim. That was a puppy dog sort of a thing. This is a practice. This is learning the art. It's not a one-hit wonder. This isn't just, oh, I've listened to this episode, now I should be shit hot. That's like sort of going to jiu-jitsu training first night, and, well, I've learned this technique, or I've went for, you know, 4 weeks, the beginner's course, now I should just be shit hot. No, it's practice. It's the dojo. This is what real men's work is about. You know, you go to martial arts training. You go to a business training. You know, well, maybe you don't know. Maybe you think, you know, you have expectations. I read the book and Jesus, my business, I'm not a millionaire yet. It's the practice. It's the incessant practice every single time that you show up. So just that context there. In the practice is that humility. But it's within the practice and to speak that it's coming from a ferocious self-love and acceptance of you. This can be intensely challenging because your core wounds, there's pretty much for most men, no more intense arena than the masculine feminine with the sacred feminine in your life in intimate relationships. It's the dominant relationship in your life, outside of your relationship with yourself, of course, fundamentally. But it's the one that's there. You more than likely wake up together, go to sleep together. You might have kids together. Like the greatest initiations as a man you experience with this person, having kids, getting married, growing old together, sickness together, in sickness and in health, etc., etc. So, I mean, the most challenging human experiences as a man will be experienced with this beautiful woman that's in your life. So it's an exquisitely challenging thing. And it's to offload the pressure on yourself from a ferocious self-love and acceptance, but it's also to take, and as you drop in more and more, and drop in with your humanity, you know, with, well, you didn't have any training in any of this. You didn't have training. Your dad probably didn't take you to the side and go, well, hey, son, you know, this is for my self-mastery of relationships. These are the things that I'm just going to drip feed you over, you know, the course of your adolescence so that you can enter intimate relationships with a growing sense of self-mastery and confidence that comes from that. You didn't have that. Very few. I don't know actually any man that has had anything like that, or a culture or a society, an educational system, a spiritual system that has addressed how you show up in intimate relationship. So coming into landing here, it's like the ground is always dropping in to this ferocious self-love and acceptance of where you're at and having a challenge in any aspect of life. Having a challenge in your relationship, in your marriage, in your intimate relationship, whatever shape, form that is, and, you know, it doesn't mean anything about your adequacy as a man. You are perfect. You are magnificent. You are amazing. You are a child of God. You are a child of whatever spiritual essence, life force, Buddha, nature, whatever is the word that does it for you. You are a child of that. You are a man of that. You are a being of that. You're a spiritual being having a human experience. And you are so worthy right here, right now, irrespective of how you've been showing up in your relationships to now, how you experienced that relationship this morning, you know, whatever the situation you're experiencing now, you're worthy of ferocious love and acceptance from me, from your fellow man, from humanity, especially, above all, from yourself. Okay? That's the context. But as I slow down in that context, and I hope, and my invitation is that you just allow yourself as a man sort of slow down and go, hey, you know what? I'm doing pretty fucking good. Hey, you know what? And just take a low, a slow down, guys. You know, have you noticed that it's like with a click of the fingers, you transition from your teenage years to adult, and in the whirlwind of qualifications, maybe a bit of travel, new jobs, you just found yourself relationship and marriage and kids, or, you know, like you found yourself in this storm, in the chaos of it all, and it almost just happened. And you can find yourself that you never get a time to breathe. So often we're so caught up trying to deal as honourably as possible with the shitstorm of life, of what it means to pay the mortgage, to put the kids through, rear kids, fucking walk the dog, maintain a house, buy a house, pay off the house, you know, create a beautiful life for you, tend to your fitness. And then on top of all of these different things, and I haven't mentioned like 100, 1,000 of the different diverse challenges, responsibilities that we have in our lives that are all sacred in their own way. But on top of that, to drop into your own emotional happiness, on top of that to, as we haven't had any training in that, on top of that to create a beautiful deepening, expanding, trust, love-drenched relationship of sexual attraction, and, you know, that element as well with your goddess, with your queen. It's a phenomenal challenge. So I just invite you to, like, slowing down here to just drop in to the human nature. And I honour the part in you that I can definitely resonate with, the part in you that has high standards, that you're like, fuck it, I want to do this fucking brilliant, and I want to be A1, and, you know, you might have this really high standards for yourself that you can get really frustrated, and I honour that. Masculine mastery is bloody hell, it's about high standards. Fearless freedom, it's high standards get you there. But high standards externally really come from a foundation of high standards internally. And high standards internally, I point you in the direction of ferocious self-love and acceptance of where you're at now for moving forward. To be kind within yourself. Because here's the thing. Maybe the most important point here coming into landing is only when you can embody ferocious self-love and acceptance as you enter into conversation, whatever conversation, but as you enter into the conversation, and it's one of those crazy ass unpredictable, the feminine goddess is chaotic, she's in storm mode, only when you embody ferocious self-love and acceptance and whatever is available to you can you then start grounding in on the human perspective of the beautiful woman in front of you, because in her 100%, she hasn't had training either. How to be a mother, how to be a woman in a society that, from the female perspective, they've been hyperloaded as well with shame. You know, all these, we have our own unique versions of where modern society has, you know, all these ads, publications, media, social media, the perfect woman, the perfect wife, the perfect fucking, like, you're never having an off day. It's intensely challenging for her too. That doesn't mean that she shouldn't throw shit at you. That doesn't mean that there can be valid perspectives of, you know, there's little changes and adaptations and, you know, that she can be responsible for. But You know, the 100% perspective is, hey, just ground in on your own self-love. You can even feel my energy really dropping in, really a heart of compassion, because I know some of the toughest times I experienced was actually just because I was struggling to love myself and accept myself in those really challenging moments when part of my mind would have just walked out the door, and like I would have been almost feeling comfortable that if Matilda just walked out the door, it's like, because I just didn't feel I was capable of. What I was lacking then, the only thing I was lacking, guys, honestly, in the most intimate way possible, was I was lacking a felt ability, an allowance, a permission to ferociously self-love and accept myself and say within myself, hey, I'm doing fucking A1 as a man. I am leaning in, and I've always been leaning in 10 out of fucking 10 my whole adult life and before with the tools available to me. I'm leaning in as courageously as is available to me. I've always been doing that. So this conversation, this conflict, this experience I'm having with my wife, doesn't matter how it goes, doesn't matter how it unfolds, my adequacy is not in question. In my truth, I move with nothing to prove. I am enough, and I extend that to you. In your truth, you move with nothing to prove. You are enough. It might be challenging, yes. Are there an infinite list of growth opportunities? Yes. It's masculine mastery. Mastery, you never reach a point of perfection. It never ends. So growth opportunities are there by default. The king is hungry for the growth opportunities. But there's winning and learning. And from a base of ferocious self-love. So, so important. I'm really feeling such a love. I just want to express this right now. I'm feeling such a love for you. Such an acceptance for whatever situation you're feeling. And your unique situation, whatever it is, I know you're capable of showing up powerfully. I know that you have been showing up with the greatest power available to you. I know, I believe, you're a good man. And I know that deep down you know that. Maybe you're sort of nodding your head, you're in full acceptance of that, and I'm happy for you. I'm speaking for the guys out there, and it can happen a lot more than we admit publicly. There can be a struggle deep down to actually just go, I'm doing fucking good. So I just want to sort of slow down here at the end and go, hey, I know you're doing good. The other guys in Kings of Freedom, they all know you're doing good. We celebrate magnificence and the allowance to love ourselves and accept our brilliance and magnificence where we're at. That's not in question. Are the growth opportunities there? Yes. My invitation to embrace them? Yeah. Only by embracing the 100% is where we start taking control back, and we start making relationships and these type of conversations safe first and foremost for ourselves to navigate. But then in time, and this is the key thing, in time we start planting the more seeds of trust, the more seeds of you owning your 100%, the more seeds of you speaking your truth into the space in a way that's not blaming your queen, not shaming yourself, but just claiming your power little bit by little bit, as you stop trying to fix her. Stop trying to go from A to B and force a solution on the situation, and just learning to be present and own your emotions and shift the emotion, not the mind, and, you know, shift the space and get curious and all these beautiful, juicy ideas, and, you know, set up your posture in a way that's open, your energy in a way that's open, and you start learning to practice with this. The feminine will tap in, will notice the shift. Mightn't happen in the first minute. Man, it mightn't happen. Depends where you're coming from. Mightn't happen in first conversation, but you persist. And when you persist, you will be unstoppable. And your woman, she loves you, so she will really deeply appreciate, and she will start being attracted by you. She'll start dropping in. This I can promise, but only if you implement with an unstoppable drive and hunger to own your power. That's what Kings of Freedom is about. Fearless freedom, masculine mastery, kingly confidence comes from lining up and taking ownership of our presence, our consciousness, our thinking, talking, and taking action. The creative tools of existence. So much love for you. So much enthusiasm. so much passion behind this. I'd love to gift so much more. Looking at the time, guys, it's a long episode. That's just the amount of love. The length of the episodes is actually just the amount of love. But it's a big topic. It's a big topic, and there's not all the answers here. I don't pretend that. We're going to be going more in depth with the trainings that are coming online soon with Kings of Freedom. There's going to be in-depth trainings, emotional awareness, intelligence, how to drop in as a man, learning the infinite toolbox, or starting the learning journey of the infinite toolbox of masculine mastery, of your energy, your inner world that can help you navigate this in a way. But I really have opened up myself as much as vulnerably as possible, and just downloaded as much to be of service to you in this episode. I really hope that this serves you in some way, shape or form to help you show up more in your king, in that as a fearless, confident king that you are, that beautiful man that you are, and helps you, you know, break down the barriers that might have been between you and your queen in the past, and help you, you know, start leading in creating that heart connection that can bring more peace, harmony and loving heart connection, and reinvigorate that connection of sexual energy that is so important to bring vitality to yourself as a man and to your woman, and in that beautiful intimate relationship going forward. Yeah, with that, I'm going to sign off for today, guys. With big love, deep bows. Until the next episode, have a beautiful day. Bye.